Support for Talking Art on WVIK comes from the people at Quad City Bank and Trust, helping the local community with their banking and financial needs for more than 20 years. Information is at qcbt.com. Support also comes from the estate of Margaret Skinner, a longtime friend of WVIK and lover of the arts.
This is Carolyn Martin, and I'm talking art today with Gay Shannon Burnett, president and co-founder of the Azubuike African American Council for the Arts in Davenport, and also with Jonathan Burnett, the program founder and creative director of the Urban Exposure Independent Film Project. So Gay and Jonathan, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. The two of you are spearheading the upcoming Urban Exposure Independent Film Project this summer, which teaches the fundamentals of filmmaking to young people in our community. And what a cool project this is. So tell our listeners what your program entails, if you can.
Okay, so Urban Exposure is a 10-week summer film program, and we teach basically the beginning and the introductory skills of directing, screenwriting, editing, and cinematography. And we do that all in 10 weeks. We have classes Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and they're normally 3 to 4 hour sessions. So what I try to do is I really try to make it as if it's film school, or what we've called it before, the first semester of film school crammed into like 10 weeks. So, or the first year rather. But yeah, that's what they all learn. They learn, like I said before, directing, screenwriting, editing, and cinematography all in 10 weeks.
Well, that's awesome. Is it primarily for high school and college age students, or are there older participants as well?
Yes. I mean, in the beginning years, we were trying to figure out what age range we want to stick with, but we were sticking with 17 to 21, so late high school, early college age, kind of mid-college age as well. But, you know, we also have other programs that include everybody. We have our acting for film workshop, and then we have our crew workshop. And when we shoot our short films, you know, anyone that wants to be a part of it, that wants to watch, can. So it's pretty much open to everybody, but the filmmaker program is only reserved for 17 to 21 years old.
Mm-hmm. This sounds like such a great project, and it's a free program that you're offering.
Yes, it is.
Well, grant funded.
Right. Free for the participants, but there are a lot of people who are helping underwrite this.
And we've had some really good funders like the RME and with the Iowa Arts Council, and we also had Doris and Victor Day Foundation last year. So we've had good partners. Mm-hmm. And the Figgy. We always have to give them credit because they've been our partners from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so they've really supported us.
So this kind of partnership is really essential to bringing this type of programming to our community.
It is, and I almost forgot, you know, Quad City Arts. They have also funded this program specifically, and they're good supporters of arts in the Quad Cities.
Mm-hmm. You held your first meet and greet informational session last week, but for those who missed it or are just hearing about it now, there are two additional sessions coming up on Friday, May 25th, as well as on Friday, June 1st. And what happens at those sessions?
So basically, I just want to sit down and meet people that are interested, meet the young people that are interested in the program. And I give them an overview of the program. And then we look through a handout just explaining kind of what we're about, why we do what we do, and then also what we learn. And after that, they fill out a questionnaire, basically for me to get to know them. Just, I want to know what they're into, like what they want to say, like how they even got interested in our program. And then after that, I just let them go and say like, hey, we'll be in contact. And I always let them know that if they can't make the actual filmmaker program, we can include them in the acting for film workshop. We can have them on set when we shoot. We want them to be involved anyway, even if they're not the filmmakers.
Mm-hmm. So there are many different opportunities.
Yes.
For these people. And they don't really have to come to that meet and greet session with anything prepared.
No.
And it's that's held at Bucktown in the afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And also, we invite the parents of the participants, especially the ones that are younger, and we even the older ones, we want them to understand what's going on so we have that buy-in from the parents and ultimately the support.
Mm-hmm. The applicants will be notified about acceptance in your program on June 4th. And how many people do you anticipate being chosen to be able to make their independent film?
Well, we normally go off of the idea of, like, we want 6 filmmakers. And we are going to team each filmmaker in pairs of 2s, and then they will co-write their short film together. And then once they, you know, once their script is greenlit, then one will be a director and the other will be a cinematographer. And, you know, the roles will change. Like, you know, maybe on the second day of the shoot, they'll just switch over because we want them to get the experience of using the camera as well as working with the actors. Mm-hmm. And then we will shoot 3 short films in 1 week. And that will be, I think, around this, I planned it for the 6th or 7th week of the program.
How many years have you been doing this, Jonathan?
4 years. Well, this is going to be year 4.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. And you have some special training in this. You just received your master's degree.
Yes, I did.
In filmmaking?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's fantastic. From one of the Southern California schools.
Yes. Loyola Marymount University. Yeah. They're actually, I think, according to a Hollywood Reporter, ranked 8th in the nation right now for film schools. Yeah. So it was a great opportunity to be accepted there and then also to learn. And to further my craft there.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations to you on that accomplishment. And we're so grateful that you're coming back to our community and trying to help and instruct other young people, mentor them in filmmaking. So you'll be helping the students. Are there other instructors or other people along the way to help guide the students who are involved in this project?
Yeah, so this year we actually decided to do things a little bit different. Like in the previous years, it was normally myself and then also my co-instructor, Jeremy Wernley, who's also a local filmmaker in the QC. We would teach everything together. But now, as the program is furthering along and it's getting a bit bigger, I have 4 instructors, including myself, and we all teach a different part of the of urban exposure. So myself, I'm head of film production. And I basically teach like directing, working with actors, and then also a little bit of producing and then just understanding development, pre-production, production, post, and distribution. So I try to like teach the technical and business side and then also like the auteurship of filmmaking. Jeremy Wernley is the head of screenwriting and he teaches everything screenwriting, like, you know, screen format, telling a story. He'll throw in like 3-act structure, things like that. Philip Cather, he's new to the program. He is the head of cinematography, everything working with cameras, composition, rule of thirds, really basics of cinematography. And then Elise Edens, she was a volunteer year 3, which was last summer, and she's everything post-production. So basically editing, sound editing, color grading, all that stuff is under her belt. So. Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like there's a lot of experience there that you've really amassed to oversee these young people who are interested in film. And again, do for a student who might be thinking about coming to your meet and greet and hearing more about this, do they have to have any specific background or in film, or can they just come in just being interested in that form of art itself?
Well, normally, like in the previous years, we've had kids that just come in and say, like, oh, I watch movies, so maybe I can make a movie. So, I mean, which is fine. No, we don't expect anyone to have any experience whatsoever. What we expect is that they are dedicated, that mm-hmm. they're committed, and that they're passionate. And that's what we really want from them. We're very flexible as far as, like, schedules. We know some kids have summer jobs. And then, like, also 10 weeks is a lot of their summer. Mm-hmm. But as long as you are willing to do it and commit yourself, that's what we're looking for.
Yeah. So again, it's a 10-week program, but the actual one-on-one is, I think, three-hour sessions, is that?
Like... Yeah. So so there are 3-hour sessions normally. The Mondays are going to be 4-hour sessions. They're normally 3-hour sessions. And then we normally try to do an hour of lecturing, and then the rest of the time is hands-on.
Okay.
actually practicing and applying, because what I've learned throughout my tenure of filmmaking is that, you know, you have to do things hands-on. You gain the most experience actually doing it and actually working on sets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At the end of the summer in late August, and I love this, after all that hard work, after all the teaching and the prep, the participants get to premiere their films at the Figge Art Museum during the Alternating Currents Festival. And that's a fortunate partnership for you, and exactly the type of collaboration that is really helping our community flourish as an artistic place of merit. And Gay, you had mentioned the Figge before. They really are a great partner, and what a beautiful theater to be able to show their films in.
Oh, no, it's a beautiful theater, and last year we had so many people come to the premiere that it was really this fabulous red carpet moment for the participants. The Figge has always provided our, you know, found, I guess, funding to help us with having the theater at no cost to ourselves, and also providing a reception too. Mm-hmm. And so they get this nice reception, they are in this beautiful theater, and all of their family and friends can come for free because we don't charge for the premiere at all, and just see what they've done. So they've, like I said, they've really been a good partner mm-hmm. in helping us.
Well, I'm going to certainly try to make that this year. This will be the second year for the Alternating Currents Festival mm-hmm. to be hosted in Davenport. And this really, your project fits in so well with that. It's really a perfect matchup. Jonathan, how did you come up with the idea for this?
You know, there was a lot of things going on in my mind when I first started this. First things first, I had just come back from Algeria, and I was working on a French-Algerian co-production for about 8 months. It was supposed to be a three-month shoot, but it turned into 8 months. And then, I when I came back to the Quad Cities, I worked like three different jobs, and none of them was film-related. So I was looking for something for myself to do. Like, you know, I wanted to do something that was film related, but then also, you know, I was also a substitute teacher, and then I would substitute at all grade levels, from elementary on up to high school. And I don't know, I felt like that I wanted to do that, to do this program for them, because when I told them what I did, I said, yeah, I do film. I'm a filmmaker. I've been here. I've been there. You know, you have a lot of kids are coming up to me saying, oh, I want to edit. Like, is there any, like, could you teach me how to do this? Or, oh, I want to work with camera. Can you teach me how to do this? And then, of course, a lot of kids are saying, oh, I'm an actor. I can sing. I can dance, you know, all that type of stuff. But you know, I was, you know, hearing all these kids, these young people saying that they wanted to do these things. I said, you know what, maybe I can, like, you know, throw some pointers, give them some tips, on different things. And but then there were some kids that just said, I want to tell a story. I want people to know what I'm going through. Mm-hmm. I want people to know about my community. I want people to know this, that, and the other. And then I'm like, okay, let's make something so they can tell, get their voice out there. Because when they have their voice, when they put their voice out there, like, it empowers them. Mm-hmm. And it gives them an opportunity to connect with other people that they didn't think they could connect with otherwise.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's just such a beautiful way of coming around to it, because there, you know, there's been such a rise in documentaries, and we do have so many more ways to get our voice heard now, fortunately. But to really enable that for others is such a great thing, and I think it's just fabulous that you're back in our community helping out with this.
Glad to be back.
Yeah, and you grew up right here in Rock Island.
Yes, I did.
I watched a video that you produced about this urban exposure film project, and you described film or cinema as a vessel for truth, and also as a vessel for understanding different cultures and ways of life. And that really resonated with me. I love that analogy.
Thank you. Thank you. No, I really do believe that that film is it is, like I said, like a vessel for truth. And then it's also an empathy machine. It really helps you connect with other people. Like, when you watch a film from another country, you might not know the culture, you probably don't know the language, but you understand the emotion that the people are portraying. You understand the lives that they live, like, and it helps you connect with mm-hmm. with other people. So that's always a big belief for me.
Yeah. Can you when you reflect back on the 3 years that you've already done this, can you tell us about a particular film that was made by one of your students or another memorable experience just from the program, just running it in general and overseeing these younger people?
I mean, each year is always amazing to me, because just of the development and the growth that you see within the 10 weeks, because they come in knowing nothing, basically. And then at the end of the 10 weeks, they gain a new appreciation for film and filmmaking. And that's what always amazes me. But we've had so many interesting films that have come through the past 3 years. I think one film in particular that has always like caught my attention, or I refer back to or think about, was a film. It was like a 2.5 minute, 2 minute piece called Beauty and the Struggle. And one of our young participants, his name is Julian. He was a Rock Island grad as well. And he was one of the cases where he was a bit older when we were still working with the age range. But he had always volunteered for my mom with Sankofa and then also with Ozenbuki. And he was volunteering for Urban Exposure. And then we were just like, do you want to make a film? And he was like, yeah, I can think of some things. Like, and he's a poet. He's a great lyricist. So he basically wrote a poem. And then we sat down and we came up with imagery to match that poem. And you know what? It showed a different side of the Quad Cities of Rock Island mm-hmm. that people may never see. Mm-hmm. And I think that's always one that stuck out in my head, because he wanted to tell his side of the story.
Yeah. Who was the basketball player who wrote a poem and won a Academy Award?
Oh, Kobe.
Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant, yeah.
Yeah, it just made me think of that.
Yeah. And Julian actually had been in after-school programs that I was worked in, and I met Julian when he was in third grade. I even have videotapes of them holding up their masks that they made. So I've been knowing Julian a long time. Yeah. So it was easy for us, even though he was a little bit older, but we really knew who he was. Mm-hmm. So that made it work.
Yeah, that's great. Good film is powerful and it's moving, and the impression it makes on us can remain for decades later. And I heard you say somewhere, Jonathan, that an influential movie you watched with your father as an adolescent was The Bicycle Thief. Mm. And I suppose that type of profound impression film can make on us was possibly behind your decision to make this as into your career.
It was. Path. Oh, sorry. It was. It was, you know, there were a lot of films that I saw along the way, but I think The Bicycle Thief was a big one for me, because you know, first of all, like I'm a big fan of like Italian neorealism, which was the genre of that film, and
it was made in the like 1940s or 50s or something.
Yeah, it was post World War II Rome, mm-hmm. and the thing about that film is it was a father son journey lack of a better word, like through poverty at that time. The thing about the film that really stood out to me was how documentary-like it was, but it was very narrative-based, narrative-driven. I think at the end, where we see this hardworking man that is just trying to do right by his family become the same people that put him in this situation that stole his bike, and he turns out to be a thief, and then when the son sees him, it's like it just crushes the son's belief system, because he saw his father as like this superhero. That's good storytelling. Mm-hmm. That is changing, like, you know, make that's turning one character from like a hero into a villain. That's like mm-hmm. a big time character arc, and that's why it stuck with me, because it was great storytelling. Mm-hmm. And you could feel the emotion in that film.
And no matter what type of art you love and enjoy, and filmmaking is certainly one of those, that's I think why it resonates with us and why we love it so much, is because it does allow us to feel that really profound deep emotion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, this is a great collaboration for the two of you because besides being somewhat kindred spirits, you happen to be mother and son. So does that help or hinder your relationship? And what's that like to do this together?
I'll let her start on this
one. I don't know. I mean, it helps, I think, in some ways, but for the most part, because we've invested a lot of energy and resources into really helping Jonathan, you know, achieve his dream, because he has an undergraduate degree in film as well. And so he's been at this a while. I'm just really kind of proud of, you know, the man he's become, but also the filmmaker he's become and the way that he wants to give back to his community. I know that's something we stressed at home, but, you know, kids grow up and jobs become important. They don't have time and they have families. But Jonathan always makes sure that he, you know, figures out how to put that in the schedule to give back. There's times, I mean, I know him, so I know where to tiptoe around as far as when I want to get him to do something. But I think the collaboration has been really good because he believes in this. He sees that Ozenbuki is not just a dream of mine to, you know, have it exist in the community, but it's a good tool, it's a good vehicle to actually, you know, provide things to our community.
Absolutely.
And so he has total buy-in with that. So whatever it is that he does and becomes as a filmmaker, I know he'll always keep us in mind and make sure that this organization, this community is okay.
Mm-hmm. And you'd mentioned, again, Ozenbuki, and this Urban Exposure Film Project is kind of underneath that larger umbrella.
Yes.
And Ozenbuki is what you founded. The name is unusual, and it means the past is your strength.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. Well, I found it with my co-founder, Joseph Ogleton. So at that time, the collaboration between the two of us was real important to getting this off the ground. So, yeah, but the past is our strength. And I think sometimes young people just see everything in the now, and they don't understand that they're actually standing on a platform, a foundation that was built by other people for them to stand on. And there's a really good film called Standing on My Sister's Shoulders. And so we are essentially standing on each other's shoulders, mm-hmm. and we try to lift our youth and our community up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there are many reasons why I love this story, but that's kind of at the core of it. And Jonathan, I think, you know, for you, it's really amazing to see someone your age, you've just completed your master's, getting involved in that giving back stage so early, because I think for a lot of us, we're so busy with our careers and our lives that we don't stop to reflect about how can we give back to our community, how can we help others until we're often older. And so it's just really fun for me to see you incorporating this into your daily life at this stage.
Thank you. I mean, I'm actually glad that I started it when I started, like at a young age, because then I feel like as long as I'm you know, going through my 30s and my 40s, and then just like hopefully it'll just keep growing with every 5 years, every 10 years. And to start it now, I just see that it's going to have longevity, rather than me starting it at 50 or like 55 or something. So,
I always tell them, I said, you know, I'm 63 years old. How much longer do you think I can do this?
As long as you want.
Thank you.
Well, Gay Shannon Burnett and Jonathan Burnett, thank you so much for talking today, and best of luck with your upcoming film project this summer.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us here.
Of course. Any person aged 17 to 21 who is interested in film should attend one of the two remaining meet and greet sessions to learn more about the Urban Exposure Independent Film Project. Applications will be available at both sessions, which will be held on Friday, May 25th, as well as on Friday, June 1st, from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Ozenbuki Center for the Arts. That's located on the first floor of the Bucktown Center in downtown Davenport at 225 East 2nd Street. And you can also email urbanexposurefilmmaker@gmail.com. This has been Carolyn Martin, talking art in the Quad Cities for WVIK. Our theme music is provided by a Quad City legend, the late Ellis Kell.